or tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, December the 30th, 1990. Holiday week, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is the speaker of the morning.
Linda Sutter is going to conclude our week of meetings this morning as with whatever the Lord has given her to minister to, and she has done well in ministering to us. I have appreciated every time she's ministered, and it has blessed us, and I have learned some things. I still haven't got through digesting all the message she brought about the seven applications of the blood of Jesus from Gethsemane to Calvary, and I just thought that was wonderful. Now, when she concludes this morning, however, whatever, then at the conclusion, we will have communion this morning.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for the blood that cleanses us. We thank you for the Spirit that refreshes. We thank you for the Word that causes us to grow and cleanses us as well. And we pray, Lord, that what we have received not only this morning but all week long, that, Father, it's going to have eternal results for righteousness, for the kingdom of God. We pray that for each one. And in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning that the Word will take root and grow, bear fruit 100-fold in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to, let's start at the book of Matthew, chapter 24. You know, this morning I was thinking about the entire week and some of the various things that have been spoken through the week. And, you know, I would have to say that this has been one of the most unusual camp meetings that I've been in. And, I mean, for many reasons, not just because of the fact that we've had bad weather and we've been a small group, because in the Spirit, I feel that that is significant. You know, you look at some of the things that happened around you, and you can draw spiritual analogies from them. And I believe that there's quite a few spiritual analogies that we can draw from the events of this week. But what we have been hearing in the Spirit all week long, and it has been exciting to me, because the theme has been the same all the way through the week. And it's really been a call to battle and a call to be prepared for the things that are right in front of us. I think we heard that from the very beginning. And it is interesting that without different individuals knowing what others have said, all the messages have dovetailed together and have said essentially that. And we're hearing, I didn't hear all of the service last night. I heard about half of it. But what I was hearing from Brother Pittman was not to be deceived, right? Did anybody else hear that besides me? And through the week from Brother Pittman, Brother Bolin, and from Glenn, we've heard about the events that are leading up to where, I mean, world events, political events that have put us where we are right now and what we can expect in the next few months. And, you know, this is the way the Lord moves. This is the way He speaks. He does nothing except He reveal it to His prophets. And not one of us should really, ideally, not one of us should be unprepared for what is going to come in the next little while. Now, in the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He's talking concerning the events of the end time, signs of the age. Now, we know the Lord spoke to Daniel way back in the Old Testament. That was mentioned many hundreds of years before, you know, earlier and hundreds of years before where we are today. And God was speaking to him about events that are happening right now. And as had been said, it was a consuming thing with Daniel. And so the word of the Lord came to him to shut up the words. because they were something for the end time. And Jesus says in Matthew 24, the fourth verse, he says, "Watch out that nobody deceive you, that no man deceives you." And he says, "For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ." Well, how many have heard that? How many have heard people say, "I am the Christ"? I mean, I have heard this for 25 years, at least. Not every day, but periodically, people have come saying, "I am the Christ." I saw a Reader's Digest ad not that long ago, within the last couple years, about that very thing, somebody claiming to be the Christ. It might have been in the last year. I can't remember. Time goes so fast now. And so he's going on. He's laying out all of these things that are going to happen at the end of the age. Now, I want us to look over at verse 39, verse 38. And Jesus talks about in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day, the very day that Noah entered the ark. These things were going on. And it says they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. They knew nothing that would happen. Noah had been saying for 120 years that judgment was coming. He had been saying for 120 years this was going to happen, and the people all around him just laughed him to scorn, paid absolutely no attention. They just went on with the things that they had been doing all their lives through. They thought he was a nut. Glenn just said that. I'm just repeating him. They did. They thought he was a religious fanatic. They knew nothing about what would happen. And I was thinking about the fact that if we take a show of hands here this morning, not a show of hands, but take a head count, we're small in number. All week long, we have been small in number. At the beginning of the camp meeting, can I tell this story on us, Glenn? At the beginning of the camp meeting, before it started, we had been kind of laughing, Kathy and I, back in the kitchen, about what the preachers always say when there's just a few people that come out for a service. And it's probably happened in your church. You know, you feel you got to say something, so you say, "Where two or three are gathered in my name." And we were talking about that, and we were talking about how we both dislike that. And so I went out to Glenn, and I says, "Glenn, we've got a rule here," as if I'm qualified to make the rules here. And I said, "We're going to have a rule that we're not going to say where two or three are gathered together in my name this week." And I'm the first one that has said it now. And he said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "Yeah, that's pretty good, me giving the boss the rules here." And you know what we talk about, you know, before camp meeting starts now. And, I was being, just having fun, really. But I believe that in the spirit that this has had some significance, because there are people in your community where you come from that are here from out of town right now. There are people in this community here that are just like the people in the book of Matthew, who we could safely say they know nothing about what is going to happen. Now, Noah and his family knew what was going to happen. You're going to go home and there's going to be people that have no idea what's going to happen. We have been instructed all week long about the one world government, about the monetary system, about what is happening in all of these political conferences. We have been warned. We have been duly warned. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, as a result of that, that we must act accordingly to what the instruction that the Spirit of God would give us. We do not have to know nothing about what is going to happen. We already know. And, you're not seeing this thing on the front page of the paper. I don't care what newspaper you get, except maybe some little political tabloid that most people laugh at. Some of those have the truth in them. But you're not going to find it on the front page of any newspaper that you're going to buy on the newsstand here this week here in Arkansas. You're not going to see it. It's not going to talk about the conspiracy that is going on. But we do not have to be ignorant. We do not have to have as our testimony that we know nothing about what would happen. Jesus is the first one that demonstrated this, in the New Testament I'm talking about here. And he's the first one that began to lay the groundwork about not being deceived. Let no man deceive you. Now we can look over at the writings of the Apostle Paul. We can just give one example. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. And he's writing to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says the Spirit clearly says that in the last days some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. They will follow things, how does it say it in the King James? Doctrines of devils. We've heard that expression here this week. Doctrines of devils. There are all kinds of doctrines of devils that would want to steal our faith. And I'll mention maybe just a couple of them in a minute. And so Paul is telling Timothy the things that he should beware of. Let's look over at the book of Jude. Historians tell us Jude was a half-brother, as far as the flesh goes, of Jesus. And this entire book of Jude, which is just a few verses, deals with the present hour we're living in. You look at this, you can apply every bit of this to this hour right today. And he talks about men, and I believe that this is a word that God dropped in my spirit yesterday afternoon. I was wondering what I should talk about this morning. I was getting nothing, absolutely nothing. I went back in the kitchen, I'd been home, and I'd been thinking about this and just getting a zero, came and I was standing in the other room for a minute, and this thing dropped down in my spirit. They are clouds without water. Yeah. And we are finding that all around us there are ministries. I say that, put quotes around it, ministries, ministers, shepherds, it talks about here in Jude, who feed only themselves. And when he talks about them as he goes on, he says, the shepherds feed only themselves. And he says, there are blemishes in your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm, without the slightest bit of fear. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain. Now, clouds in the scripture is symbolic of people. And I had wanted to go into maybe a more of a study that morning, but that doesn't seem to be the way that the Spirit of the Lord is leading, so I'm not going to do that. But these men and women are clouds without rain, and here it is describing them, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Now, when you look at the first part of this book, in the first verses, he talks about these godless men, and he said they have secretly slipped in among you. Now, the Apostle Paul also gives that idea about men who came in to spy out their liberties. And there will be people that will come into this camp meeting, that will come into your churches, that will slip in. That means that they come in without a lot of fanfare. We might have had somebody like that here this week. I don't really know that. But we might have, and I know that in the past there have been people, come in, don't make a lot of noise, don't draw attention to themselves. They come in secretly. And people like this that come in secretly, they will do things, behind the back of the leadership. I was in a church recently. In fact, I attend that church most of the time when I am in Wisconsin. If I'm not going to be in services somewhere, I'll go to this church. It started as a prayer meeting in a lady's living room. And it just grew and grew, and finally her husband,
who doesn't even go to the church, says we've got to build a church. So he took a threshing kitchen. Some of you might know what threshing kitchens are. Just a little building. They used to use it to feed the threshers when they would come in and, do threshing in the early summer. And they took that kitchen and turned it into a church. And now that has outgrew long ago. And they are went and built up on the highway a church. And we'll be having the dedication sometime within the next couple months. So I attend this church when I'm in Wisconsin and am not in meeting somewhere. And there was another individual that came into the church. In fact, was there almost from the beginning. Prophesy, beautiful prophecy. Now Jesus says, you don't need to turn back to it, but Jesus said over in Matthew that there would be those that would talk about everything will be peace, didn't he? I just want to refer to it, make sure I'm saying it right here. Before destruction, there will be those that will talk about peace, and it won't be the word of the Lord. And this individual came in, prophesied, beautiful prophecies. And over a period of time, behind the scenes, drew a following to themselves. After the church service would be over, would just quietly slip out of the church, and when somebody would come out of the building, kind of draw them over and give them a prophetic word and something that would tickle their ears. And this grew and grew till finally this individual left a while back because the sin in their life was exposed, took a third of the congregation, and went over to another church in town. We're going to start their own, but then felt led to go over to another church in town. I went to try to warn the pastor about this individual and the people that they had taken with them over to this other church in town, and he wasn't interested in what I had to say. They comprised a small amount in his large, affluent church. And, the Scripture tells us, that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. But, this element won't always make a big, a big splash, a big fanfare. We'll come in secretly and just do all this manipulation secretly behind the scenes. Jesus warned about that. Paul warned about it. Jude warns about it. We could look over in Peter. Peter warns about it. The Apostle John warns about it in his epistles. You could look at it. I wrote one down that I wanted to share with you. Let's see. I think it's in 1 John. He's talking about in 1 John 4. I didn't write it down, but he's talking about in 1 John 4 about don't believe every spirit. Now, we have been hearing this in different ways throughout this week. We've heard about the events of the end time, things that we are to be on the lookout for, and the other thing that we have been hearing throughout the week is about false doctrines. It's come out in some of the individual ministry. I understand, I wasn't here in the last part of the service yesterday afternoon, but that it was dealt with in the final part of the service yesterday afternoon about some of these false doctrines that would come in to the church. And I believe one of them that has come through several times during the week is the doctrine of ultimate reconciliation. I haven't always thanked God for this, but I do now. I thank God for the fact that I have come in contact in one way or another with many false doctrines in the last 25 to 30 years. It's safe when you stay in one when you're in one church. My background was Lutheran. It would have been safe for me to stay in that place and never venture out, never go anywhere else. Hearing that, it would have been safe for a while, but now in these last days, all kinds of other things have come in that have taken the place of that early teaching that I got, and that early teaching isn't taught anymore. When I was an infant and my parents dedicated me to the Lord, that's how I interpret it anyway. But they came and they had to answer, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? That's pretty good. I'd forgotten that we used to do that. And when I went and made a public declaration of my faith, I was asked, "Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?" And I said, "I do." I didn't really know what I was saying, but you know, Martin Luther knew firsthand what it was to battle the devil. He writes in his writings that he even threw an inkwell at him one time. And so he knew, but down through after several hundred years, so he put that into the things that he would teach his young people, that he saw the value of renouncing the devil. We think that's all new to some of us who have been in deliverance now for a little while, that we have to renounce the devil. I mean, it became part of the formula. When you were raised in the church, do you renounce the devil? And you say, "I do." You have no idea what you're saying. But Martin Luther did, and maybe a few of them after him did. But then after that, it just became a right. And we've learned again, think we've got a hold of something new. We've got to renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. Take back the ground that's been given Satan. So I thank God, you know, so I had started to say it would have been safe to stay in that place, but I thank God I have been exposed to different teachings. And I'll tell you what, some of the things, false doctrines that come your way, don't even have to be spoken. It can be something that settles down into your heart without anybody ever having told you. And then someone can come along and speak it, and you think, "Wow, I've got this great revelation from God." It just confirms it. Well, the same devil that lied to somebody else who's preaching it, he can lie to you. And I found out that happens. Doctrines of devils is what they are. Now, there's a number of doctrines that I consider doctrines of devils. I believe that is one of them. Because, see, the trick of the enemy is to immobilize you. And so if this particular doctrine really gets a hold of you, there's no more reason to fight. You can just become passive. For a long time, I thought, well, you know, I can fellowship with people like this. They love Jesus. But I realize now that to fellowship with them is really dangerous. Because gradually, you just begin to lay down your weapons. Sing nice songs about walking in the light. I purposely sang the kind of songs we did this morning because God is calling us to war.
Amen.
And the words of our lips have to be words that's going to defeat the enemy. So Satan would, through a doctrine that would come your way, would want to immobilize you. The doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, in my opinion, is designed to immobilize us. I remember I was talking, and this is many, many years ago. This is 1972. I remember it clearly. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, a man who had prayed for me, along with others, when I received the baptism of the Spirit in 1963. And we were talking about this thing and I was sharing with him that I did not believe that we were going to leave this earth prematurely. And it was during the time period in 1972 when there was a energy crisis. And I remember that the air conditioning people were being told to turn their air conditioners off. And I remember saying at the time to this pastor, we sat in the comforts of their living room, and we were talking, and I said something about, you know, it was difficult for us to consider life without air conditioning. And he said, "Linda, I believe the Lord is coming before that air conditioner goes off." And I laughed at that, not at the time, but as I left the house and went on, I thought, most of us Christians have been trained to about the only thing that we can tolerate is just a little bit of discomfort. You know, at best, we can only tolerate a little bit of discomfort. And he was thinking that the Lord would deliver him out of the heat, the physical heat, before he would have to endure any hardship of being without an energy source. You know, I was talking to a pastor friend. In fact, it was a brother that called the other day, and we prayed for the day before yesterday. He's in a church where there's all kinds of warfare going on right now. And this man, he's one of my very closest friends, has been. We used to be on staff of a church together. I prayed for him. Do you remember praying for this pastor the other day? The warfare that was going on. He's called here several times for prayer in the last few months. And his father was a Marine. And he himself, though he's never been in the military, has that way about him. He has the bearing of a Marine. He walks into a place, and I mean, he is ready to fight. In his heart, he's not really that way. But outwardly, he gives that impression. He's a great big fellow, walks in. The attention is turned towards him. He has that kind of presence about him. And he always talks about, we are going to fight the battle. He's got something hanging up in his office, and it's a cartoon is what it is, but it shows these two men with their weapons, and they've just got a sword and a shield, and that's all they've got, and they're standing there back to back, and there's a whole army of thousands out there, and the one guy whispers to the other, he says, now remember, take no survivors. And that is really his mentality. And that's what he gets up and preaches from the pulpit. Well, I want to tell you something. He is in the thick of the battle right now and is really feeling it. And I told him a while back when he called, I says, hey, I says, what you're going through, and I'm speaking to myself, and I hope I'm speaking to for all of us this morning. But I said, this is the stuff that patriarchs are made of. And he started to laugh, and he says, well, he says, I'm not so sure I want to be a patriarch right now. And so anyway, when we were talking on the phone this morning, I says, I believe I have the word of the Lord for you. In fact, I says, I know I have the word of the Lord for you. And so we were having a three-way conversation going on. And I began to share some things with him that I believe I can share with us this morning. Because we are going out of here into battle. And the first thing I said to him was, be slow to speak. And I believe that with us, that we need to be, when we go into battle, we have to be slow to speak. It is our first thing that we want to do. Our carnal way is, man, I want to defend myself. Right? And what is the thing that the enemy do? What is he called? He is called the accuser of the brethren. You don't have to defend yourself. I've always said truth will stand on its own merits. And I've said that many times. And I've said it, but I hate to remind myself of it when I want to defend myself. My brother, the fellow I was talking to, I know this about him. His heart's cry, and I mean it has been a groan in his spirit, is for a moving of the Spirit through his ministry. And I says, your authority is being challenged in the Spirit. And I want to tell you something. Your authority is going to be challenged in the Spirit. I've discovered this with ministers, when they go to a new church. It's not long before the place that God has called them to that their authority is challenged in that place. And a lot of ministries leave a place within a year because the fire gets hot and they think they've missed God. And I said to him, if you will stay and see this thing through, it will bring a settledness and the maturity in your ministry. He's been in the ministry 20 years. He ought to be mature by now. And he does have a degree of maturity, but the Lord spoke to me that his ministry was really just beginning. And some of you here this morning have been Christians a long time. I've been a Christian a long time. Glenn's been a Christian a long time. Irma's been a Christian a long time. Much longer than I have. They've been Christians longer than I am old. And longer than some of you are old. But there are battles that are facing us, and there's battles that are facing you. I feel to say this to you, Glenn and Irma, this morning. There's battles that are on the horizon that is challenging your authority in the Spirit. And I believe for you that it's going to bring a greater authority over the demonic realms. And if we will stand our ground in the face of the battle, it will bring us a greater authority in the Word of God as we speak the Word. You know, it's one thing to get up and to preach something, and it's quite another thing to go out of here and demonstrate it. It's one thing for me to stand up here and say, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And it's quite another thing for me to go out that door and speak to the powers of darkness. You know, some of you have heard this illustration before, but I think it bears repeating. 2 years ago, when a team of us were in the Soviet Union, we were beaten down simply by the power of intimidation of the enemy. Not one thing had happened outwardly. Outwardly, nobody had challenged us. Outwardly, everybody was nice to us. Outwardly, we were eating well. Outwardly, we were sleeping in warm beds. Our creature comforts were being taken care of. There was minor hassles that there always is when you travel on the mission field or just in traveling. But outwardly, things were fine. But in the spirit, we were hopelessly intimidated. We were afraid to pray out loud. We were afraid to say the name of God. We were afraid to say the name of Jesus. Problems were rising up among us. Dissensions, insecurities with one another, suspicious of one another. I want to underline that one. Suspicious of one another. That is one of the enemy's chief tactics to get us out of harmony with one another, to be suspicious. It was a mess. We were in a mess. We looked a mess. We got together for prayer one morning. I had my guitar, the one I've been playing right here. And I looked at the people as they were coming in the room. I began to get angry. And I thought, man, we couldn't confront a fly right now. And we've come over here as God's messengers of faith and power to help the Christians that are in this land. This is crazy. And in my frustration, I began to vent my feelings. Barbara, a co-leader with me, she began to vent her frustrations. And then I began to sing that song, "Hear Us, O Spirits of Darkness, so you will know where we stand." We were in a tourist hotel. 4,000 tourists were staying in that place. Probably every room was bugged. I think they are in those places. And anyway, we had been so afraid to even speak above a whisper. And I thought, phooey, if it's bugged like we think it is, they've heard us when we whisper. We might as well give it to them with both barrels. And we started singing. And we sang that song. And we sang it. And we sang it. And we sang it. And we jumped up and down. And we screamed. And we raised our hands. And we danced before the Lord. And we brought down the power of intimidation that was all around us. You know, you don't feel like doing that when you're in the battle or when you ever even feel like you're going into battle. Last year, when Erlene and I and Kay, another friend of mine, we were going to go into Poland the night before we were supposed to go, the power of intimidation was so strong over us. We were going to be taking Bibles to so they could get to the Russian people. We were going to go and leave them in Poland. And all I could see was the enormity of the situation. Last night, I went home from the meeting, and I was sitting there, and all I could see was the enormity of the battle. That's all I could see. I just sat there. Man, it overwhelmed me. I didn't feel like praising the Lord. And the enemy would want to say, hey, you sing about all this victory. Where's your victory now? And he does it with every one of us. If you will dig your heels in, and stand in the place that God has called you to. You may not feel so great 24 hours a day, but I'll tell you, Jesus Christ, who is in you, is greater than he that's in the world, and he will be the victor through you in that place. Hallelujah. We like to hear the stories when other people come in from outside. I'll tell you, there's times, you know, you just get mad, angry at what's happening around you. And who wants to pray when you're angry? Who wants to, you know, when you feel this thing settling in on you, who wants to put their arms up and say, devil, you're a liar? The flesh doesn't want to do that. But the Spirit of God in you can rise up and declare to the principalities and powers that Jesus Christ is the victor. Amen. You're going to have to do that. If you're going to survive, you're going to have to do it. And that's what I'm going to leave with you this morning. I told Glenn we wouldn't be talking here long. But you're going to have to do that if you're going to be a survivor in the days to come. Hallelujah. There's one more thing that the enemy would do to us, and this wasn't something I said to the brother that I talked to this morning, but he would have you just concentrate all the time on your own problems, to be introspective. And granted, every single one of us has problems. When I was a young Christian, I remember when I'd hear a preacher stand up, and I'd emulate these pastors. They'd stand up, and man, they looked like they had it so together, and they'd preach like a house of fire, and they'd stand up there and say, "Pray for me." And I'd think, "Man, what do you need prayer for?" And then I remember when I was began to develop in the ministry myself, and I was working with kids from off the streets in Minneapolis, and I was sitting having coffee with a group of them around the table one day, and somebody said something, and I says, "You've got to pray for me." And one of the young people says, "Linda, why do we need to pray for you? You got to pray for us." And I thought, what goes around comes around in these things. But that is an immature thinking that the people in the leadership don't need prayer. You're the one that needs prayer. I'll tell you what, every single one of you here are a leader to somebody. And it would be the lie of the enemy and his way to have you to concentrate on your problem all the time. God wants you to get your eyes off that thing and not keep it there all the time, and to do the work of the ministry, the thing that God has called you to do. Hallelujah. Can you receive that this morning? Just where you are, lift your hands to the Lord. Begin to thank Him for what... you're a chosen people. He gave you the privilege this week of hearing the call in the Spirit. They are getting ready for battle over in the Middle East. It is a type in the Spirit of the fact that God is preparing us for battle this morning. Whatever happens over there, it is also happening in the Spirit realm. God, I thank You for Your chosen vessels here this morning. I thank You, God, that You have called us here to be prepared for battle, that You've chosen us. You brought us here through ice and storms and bad weather and difficulties. You brought us to this place so that we could hear the battle call. And I pray, Heavenly Father, as we go out of the door this morning, that we will go with prepared to face what You have called us to face in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think while we're doing battle, we should stand and do some more. I think we should pray for the boys over there. Should pray for our nation and our leadership. I hadn't done that yet today, so we'll do that now. We'll do some warfare and some battle. Father, come in the name of Jesus, and we come against the powers of Satan, come against the powers of Lucifer and all his hordes. We stand against them in the name of Jesus. That's the only authority we have, is to stand in the name of the Lord Jesus. And this morning we stand in that name, take authority and dominion over Lucifer and over his demon spirits, over the principalities and powers that he rules over. And we take authority that we shall rule, and we will, and we do, we rule over them. We take our place in the heavenlies. We bind your power, Satan. We bind the power of your principalities and powers that you have assigned over us individually and over us corporately and over this place. I break your dominion and your authority over us individually and over us corporately. Then I take dominion over the principalities and powers that you have set over this nation, over our president, over those in authority. I take dominion over you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind and break your powers up over this nation. I break it over our president. I break it over his cabinet. I break it over the advisors. I break it over the vice president. I break it over the governors of the states, the lieutenant governors, the mayors of the cities, the sheriffs and the police departments, and over the FBI and the CIA. And then, Father, I come and bring our armed forces and up before you, and I break the dominion that Satan has of war over our generals and our admirals, and I bind and break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. And then I bring our men up in remembrance before you that are in the far-flung regions of the earth and here in America.
America and the men and the women that represent this place. And I bind the powers of Antichrist and the powers of Lucifer and the powers of his principalities and powers that rule over some of their lives. And then, Father, I loose the glory of the Lord over those that name the name of the Lord Jesus, for they are victor, and they have the authority in the heavenlies over these powers. And Father, help them to rise and take that place of authority. Thank you for your protection over them, Father. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow and move through them today and in the days ahead, that they shall be a light that shall shine, and that men shall know that God rules and reigns in the earth because he rules and reigns in his people, and they see the light and the glory of the Lord in them, and the word of the Lord shall come. And say, thus saith the word of the Lord, and the protection of the Lord shall be about them, as it was the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. So shall your hand of protection be over them, and your hand shall be with them. There shall be no harm or evil come nigh their dwelling, for the hand of the Lord shall be their protection. Father, I thank you for it today, and I praise you for it, Satan. You're a defeated foe. We let you know that now. The world doesn't know that. The world doesn't think that. And you don't think you are. But God says you are, and it is written, Satan, that you are defeated, and that Jesus defeated you at Calvary, and that we take that place of authority. And I stand declaring that Jesus is Lord over my life, over the lives of those here, over those that hear this tape, over all that name the name of Jesus, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Satan, I bind your power that would destroy us physically. I take authority over the ancestral curses that you have a right to come down, and I take authority in the name of Jesus. Put that it is written that Jesus became a curse so we don't have to bear the curse. Satan, I apply and probate that to our lives. Put the blood of Jesus to separate and to cleanse us from the ancestral curses that have come down the family line. Then I speak to our physical bodies, and I break the powers of these curses. I speak to our physical bodies to receive the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus. I break the curse of the ancestral line in our physical bodies. Any curse that we've come under because of our own sin, I break the curse of it. I speak to the physical body to receive the healing virtue of the scars and stripes of the whipping post. For Jesus said that by his stripes we are healed. And I speak that in the name of Jesus to my physical body, to every physical body in the presence of this place and the sound of my voice. I speak healing to the physical body. I command the demonic spirits to wither and dry and to loose us and to come out of us, and the infirmities to be gone in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing and restoration to our physical bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus by the blood of Calvary and the scars and stripes of the whipping post and the blood of Gethsemane and the blood of the hands and the feet and the crown of thorns. I speak restoration, healing, deliverance, and salvation to us in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father, and I praise you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I break every curse. Break every physical curse. I break every spiritual curse. I break every curse that's been spoken against us. Stand against us in the name of the Lord. Break its dominion in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. We pull down the strongholds. We put them under feet. We break the powers of principalities and powers. We break the powers of the lesser spirits. We break the powers of the demon spirits. We break the powers of the spirits of infirmity. We break the dominion of it in the name of Jesus. Jesus said that he gives unto us authority over all these things. This morning we stand and take that place of authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. For it is written, in my name you shall cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. The Father, this morning we stand declaring that these things are our rights, and in Jesus' name, Satan, we declare them to be so. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Father, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Thank you for the fact that it is written that Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is my Lord and our Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Linda, I think we ought to sing. Lord, help her voice. He is Lord.
For he is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. And he is Lord. Every knee shall. like in olden days the blood prevails. No matter what others say, thank God the blood prevails. The blood prevails. The blood of the risen Lord has power to save. Just like in olden days, the blood prevails. No matter what others say, thank God the blood prevails.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I think that we all need to ask the Lord to cleanse us. I not only need to, but it's necessary. It's necessary. Psalms 43 says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me, and let them bring me into thy holy hill and into thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of the Lord, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O Lord my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Let our souls not be cast down. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Hallelujah. Jesus is our Lord. We're not to be cast down, but we are to rise up in the things of the Lord. Just stay standing. Don't sit down. Praise you, Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "For as let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." This morning, we need, each one of us need to come before the Lord individually and judge ourselves. And ask the Lord for his cleansing and his washing of his blood individually in our lives, or the areas of our life that we have been displeasing to him, or that we have not only been displeasing, but have outright been in rebellion and sinned against the Lord. Lord, I ask you now to reveal to each one of us the areas of our lives that we need cleansing and washing in. Forgive us, Lord, of our errors of our ways. Forgive us of our rebellion. Forgive us, Lord, of the things that we've said or done that have been contrary to thy word, that which has hurt our brother or our sister, or that which has hurt you, Father, because we have hurt Jesus. And Father, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord, that I can walk before you and be without spot and wrinkle and walk in righteousness and holiness, Lord, that I can be that vessel that you would have me to be. And Lord, cleanse me and wash me afresh today with the blood of Calvary. Lord, move by your Spirit over the hearts and lives of each one here present this morning. Touch us, Lord. Move by your Spirit upon us, Father, that we walk before you in holiness. Cleanse our thoughts and imaginations, that they be righteousness and holiness unto thee. Cleanse the vileness and the pollution from our minds, the thoughts, our thought life that is not pleasing unto thee. Cleanse it, Father, and wash it today afresh and anew, that we be vessels of righteousness, vessels of holiness unto thee, the Father, that we'll not partake of the cup unworthily and bring damnation unto ourselves. But Father, that we'll walk before you in that which is holy and righteous. Robes of white, robes of righteousness. Father, that we shall be a light unto those about us, because you truly dwell and move and being in our lives. Father, help us, first of all, to be a clean vessel, because we want to be, because we come confessing our faults and our sins. Cleanse us, Lord. Wash us, Lord, that we be a righteous and holy people, that you can be well pleased with us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every fetter, cast out every foe. Lord, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Yes, whiter than snow. Lord, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Once more, sing that.
While we're singing, the boys will pass the communion.
Than snow.
The grape yes, juice and the wine and the bread. Take it and hold it in your hands until we've all been served, and then we'll take it together.
And I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Yes, whiter. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Lord, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Yes, whiter. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. There's a sweet, sweet anointing coming down to make me like a mighty rushing stream. Sweet, sweet anointing, pour it out, the oil and wine all over me. There's a sweet, sweet anointing coming down to make me clean like a mighty rushing stream. Sweet, sweet anointing, pour it out, the oil and wine
rushing stream. Sweet, sweet anointing. Pour it out, the oil and wine, all over me.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Father, we partake of your broken body, the symbol of it, which was broken for the healing and restoration of our physical bodies. The scars and stripes of the whipping post that was placed there, and the blood that flowed for the healing of my and our physical bodies. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Praise the name of the Lord. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink of it in remembrance of me. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Father, I thank you that you gave Jesus. Your word says that for God so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him will not perish but have everlasting life. And Father, we're whosoever's. Father, help us to believe. Help thou our unbelief. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to come to the foot of Calvary and there find the blood-stained banner that brings salvation and restoration to broken hearts and families and lives. Thank you for the cleansing of the blood, the worship, and cleanse us and set us free. We can walk before you in that cleansing and holiness that Jesus is Lord of our lives, and that in him we find restoration and salvation and healing and a declaration that he is Lord. Father, this morning, help us as we go forth from this place that we shall be a witness and a testimony of the power of the living God in our lives, and that men shall know that God rules and reigns because he reigns in our lives. And I thank you for it, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows
Thank you for the privilege we've had to gather together these days and sit at the feet of your word and the feet of Jesus as he's ministered to us, as we've praised and worshiped him. And as the word of the Lord has come forth, help us now, Father, to ponder these things, to hide them in our heart. Let not fear take hold of us, but let it be a spirit of rejoicing as we see the hour approaching of thy return. Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had to know and hear and to listen and to study your word. Yes. Now, Father, I invoke your blessings. All that have been here, all that are still here, and will be traveling and returning, that your protection shall be over them. They shall rejoice in the blood of Jesus as their protection. The angel of the Lord to go with them. And as they return home, they shall return with rejoicing and praise. And that in the day of trouble, that they shall remember the days of rejoicing, that the rejoicing and the joy shall return to their heart, and they shall be able to praise you in the day of sorrow and in the day of hardship. They shall be able to have a song in their heart and a praise on their lips unto Jesus. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.